You're listening to The Holdcast with Jack Grimsey and Robert Lintott.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 102 of the 7500theholt.com Holdcast. As always, I'm Jack Grimsey alongside Robert Lintott. We're going to be running down the latest in Aston Villa, which, if you didn't see on Saturday, it was another draw. That and more in just a moment. All right, Robert, how's it going? What are you thinking about new boss Steve Bruce? New guy in, same result, really, for Villa.
I have the feeling that we could put literally anyone in at manager, and we would just get a draw. This club is cursed.
Yeah, and obviously no disrespect to Steve Bruce, because he's had a really, really good championship career. He averages almost 1.8 points per match, which, over the season, that should be close enough to getting Villa up if he performs at his traditional pace, which you probably saw if you saw my piece on the site the other day. But yeah, you're saying, when you keep drawing, you just have to feel that it doesn't matter who the players are, who the boss is, anything. It's just Villa.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, just to clear this out of the way right and early, I don't blame that on Bruce at all. He had a few days with the club, and some not even that much. Apparently Jednak flew in and went straight to the match, basically.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's why we saw he just went with that 4-4-2. It's a basic scheme that everyone knows, and very, very basic tactics just for the first match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we probably have two more matches before we can really start to see what Steve Bruce might be able to do with this job. Because, I mean, he's got tomorrow, which is, you know, his second match after only a couple of days rest, and then he's got the weekend. So I think before we can even really begin to judge him, we've got to be looking to the, you know, third or fourth match of his tenure.
Exactly. He didn't get a preseason, and just looking back to last year, Sherwood was sacked on the 25th of October, so we made the move a little earlier this time, but the thing is, with the championship, there's significantly more matches to turn it around. Like with Remy Gard, he didn't have that window.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I don't know. I'm glad to see him aboard. He's obviously never a manager that's going to fill me with rapture or joy or anything like that, but I think he is probably the right man for this job. But I worry about saying that because I thought that Roberto Di Matteo was going to be fine for this job too.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So
I'm starting to not trust my own judgment when it comes to managers.
Yeah, and I mean, at least you're not going to be the name on the hook if Bruce fails.
Oh, that's true. I'm starting to wonder if this club has given me Stockholm syndrome. I just talk myself into liking anyone. Like, I thought Tim Sherwood was going to work, and I thought Remy Gard was going to work. And
I mean, what choice do you have? If the new manager comes in and you want to be mad at him from the start, it's just going to be a bad experience. At least you're giving him a chance.
Yeah, that's true. If you come in with a little optimism from the start with Aston Villa, you get at least 15 or 20 minutes of joy.
So, yeah, what was the penalty the other day against Wolves? 15 or 17 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
God. Yeah, 15 minutes, exactly. You nailed it. But 20 minutes after that, Wolves had equalized also on a penalty, so
this team is so predictable. but, you know, it's tough for me to be too mad about that. I think, should we have beaten Wolves? Definitely. Should we have?
But just because better? it was at home.
Yeah,
really.
Just because it was at home, and just because Wolves... Actually, I want to say that Wolves were beatable, but I thought they actually looked pretty good. I don't want to take anything away from them.
No, I think they're a solid side. Like, they did do those back-to-back relegations, but they came back up. They were solid last year, and they'll be right around the hunt for a promotion spot. Maybe a little lower than what we would have expected Villa to do this season, but judging by how the year has started, yeah, it's tough to say.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I mean, it's... You think to yourself that, okay, maybe we should have beaten Wolves, but that's the kind of talk that you reserve for losing 2-0 to Preston or something like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was one draw to Wolves with the brand new manager in his first game. Villa looked totally outclassed and looked like garbage, but with that in mind, I'll take it, I guess.
What other choice do you have? Yeah, I mean, it's like another point, so it's 11 points in 12 matches.
Yeah, That's the really crappy thing about that Preston loss. We were gunning for a point a match.
Well, now we have to win to get back on the pace.
Oh, we have to win, and then, oh, God, it's just going to be such a pain. Come on, Villa. Stick to your guns here.
All right, so tomorrow, that will be another chance for Villa to win, or most likely just draw, because they're going to be away at Reading. It's at the Majeski Stadium, and all the other championship games kick off 15 minutes before, but I guess it doesn't really matter for TV coverage or anything, because the only game that has any sort of coverage is all at Newcastle, and it's just on the radio, so.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? Like, 15 minutes for all of the other matches, and then ours is at three local, or not three local.
No, yeah, eight local. Three local for you.
Yeah. I'm actually genuinely curious. If someone could, tell us why Villa start 15 minutes later, I would be intrigued to know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like it has anything to do with TV, because like I said, none of the matches are on, Champions League's on, they all start at that same time, I think, so, around that time, so, yeah, why?
Yeah, I have no idea what to make of that. But yeah, going into Reading, after that sort of blasé 1-1, my big worry after that was the fact that, you know, Micah Richards is hurt, and, you know, Tommy Elphick was hurt? One of our central defenders was hurt. I think it was Tommy. Yeah, because he gave the armband up. Tommy mm-hmm. Elphick was hurt. You know, this is a squad that's picking up injuries. Are we going to see Alan Hutton time?
You know, I think we're going to. Oh, because God. It's just the point that we're at.
Hutton, to his credit, had a really good block on an attempted shot, or a block on an attempted something or other. This is how little of this match I remember. I'm sorry. It just wiped out of my mind almost immediately. But Hutton had a really good block, and I was quick to give him credit, and then I saw the replay, and I realized the only reason he had a really good block is because he wasn't in the right position in the first place.
Yeah, that kind of sums up our season, is you think someone did something right and they actually did it wrong and were just lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like those outfielders in baseball who make amazing diving catches, and then when you see the replay, it's like if they had run a useful route, they could have just caught it standing up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you give them credit because, hey, they did the thing, but you have to take away some of that credit because, hey, if they had done the right thing first, they wouldn't have needed to do the thing.
Yeah, there was certainly an easier way to go about their business.
Yeah. What do you know about Reading for us?
Basically, I think it's going to be embarrassing if we lose or even draw, just because we bought Aaron Tshibolo from them. And, you know, it's just, when you're buying players like that from a club like that, it's just, you can't say that we're better than them, because obviously we're 20th and they're 8th, but Reading was a side coming in that just, they were in the Premier League a couple years ago, but obviously they're in a down spell, so just consolidation and maybe looking for one of those playoff spots would be good for them. But without trying to sound too entitled, Villa should be better than them, should be beating them.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to worry about sounding entitled, because I think everyone listening knows that Villa should be better than almost everyone in this entire league. Saying that Villa should be better than them doesn't mean that we think they're actually going to outperform Reading.
No, but I really kind of the point I was trying to make is that if Tshibolo gets outclassed in midfield, then it's like, what are we doing?
That's a good point, I suppose.
Then again, if he's left to play in a two-man midfield,
there's other lineup issues, right? Because there's probably an issue at right back. There might be an issue at central defender. Jack Grealish looks set to miss 3 matches after stamping on Cody in the Wolves match.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, because Jack Grealish went out on international duty and put in 1 match with England's U21s.
Man of the match.
Yeah, man of the match, 3 assists. And then he came in, and in the first half at least, Jack Grealish was definitely the, if not the best, within the top 2 players for Aston Villa. I think Koja might have been better.
Yeah, but, you know, that just shows the frustration. Like, when things aren't going right, players are liable to do that kind of a thing.
That's true.
And there, I mean, there's no excusing it, obviously, but, you know, like, it was like IU last year against West Ham. Nothing is just working for this team, and you get frustrated.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you do something dumb.
And Jack Grealish has yet to meet a stupid decision he won't make.
just don't let him get into that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, I kind of want to get a little irritated because, you know, Grealish didn't even get carded. But you look at that replay, and it was pretty clearly a horrific idea of his. He stamped down with force trying to stand on someone's ankle.
Yeah, malicious.
Yeah, that deserves a ban. I'm totally okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm past the point of defending stupidity with this team.
You just can't anymore.
As a fan, I just, you know. So we're going to have that issue. You know, there's other questions of fitness all throughout the team. I don't know. I agree with you. This is a team that Villa should be beating, but it's hard to figure out how they line up. It's hard to figure out what Steve Bruce does with them. Would it shock you to see just another bog-standard 4-4-2?
No, it wouldn't at all. If only because if Grealish is there, then you have that winger, but we could go 4-3-3 just because we have an abundance of strikers.
Yeah, you could do like a Koja Ayu McCormick up front or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, or 4-3-1-2, something like that. Just pack the center of the park because Reading have been going 4-2-3-1, so, you know, if you go for that 4-4-2 natural width, but you could get Boston the center of the park. And yeah, Especially on the road, that sounds like a recipe for defeat, even worse than just a draw.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's one thing Villa are liable to do this year, it's get Boston the center of the park.
Especially late in the day.
Yeah, exactly. They've shown that again and again. That midfield just cannot hold up.
Yeah, and you brought it up a little bit before the pod, before we went on, but dropping, even though it was just a 15-minute lead for Villa, and they only had it for about 20 minutes, still technically dropped 2 points.
Yeah. God, it's really frustrating, because if Villa were able to hold on to their winning position, at this point, like earlier I was able to say if Villa held on to all of their winning positions, they'd be in first. But at this point, I don't know the exact numbers, so it's hard for me to say, but I remember we were at something like 10 points dropped. And so if Villa had held on to half of their points, let's say that's 6 points, they'd be in 10th right now. A very sustainable 10th.
Yeah, 10th that would definitely be looking up, because it would be a positive goal difference, and you'd be right around there, just on the edge. New manager comes in. Well, the thing is, we probably wouldn't have a new manager if that was the case, but regardless, just looking to push for those promotion spots, and, you know, you turn it around. Like I've said a lot, this is a league where you can get 8-10 wins in a row, and then you're shooting up to maybe even those automatic promotion spots.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, that statistic about how many points would Villa have if they had held on to all their winning positions is interesting, but it's not the most realistic.
No, I was going to say very unrealistic.
Yeah, no team is going to hold on to every single lead they hold on to.
Especially no Aston Villa team.
Yeah, but I think on the other hand, saying if they held on to half of them, I think that's something you should be able to expect.
Yeah, that's a mark that they should have, I'm not going to say shooting for, because you're not going to go out and in the dressing room, hey, let's try to hold on to this lead today because we blew the lead last. No.
I'm just trying to think here. Let's see. We never had a lead against Sheffield Wednesday, beat Rotherham. Did we have the lead against Huddersfield? Yeah, we had the lead against Huddersfield, so there's 2 points. Had the lead against Bristol City, so there, and got a loss, so there's 5 total. At one point had
Forest had the lead against Forest.
Yeah, so had we went a lead back up 2-1. And so there's 7 total.
Brentford, another one.
Had a lead, so 9 total.
We recovered against Newcastle.
Recovered against Newcastle.
Choked against Barnsley.
So 11 total, and then this one, so 13 total. So yeah, 6 points. Wow. I'm doing really good at the random guessing today. But yeah, 6 points. I mean, you're not going to win every one of those. Some of those are going to turn into draws. Some of them you're going to suck. But getting 3 of those matches, or 2 of those matches,
Yeah, even 5 points would have us not in 20th in the league, and it would be around QPR Leeds on 16 points. You know, yeah. Leeds had a dreadful start to the season.
It just...
And...
That's the frustrating thing, is it does not take lots of good luck for this team to be good. It takes the bare minimum of competency for this team to be good.
Yeah, and it takes something from the manager of making the correct subs to hold that lead late in the match. Obviously, he's still getting to learn his personnel. It didn't have that preseason that, like you were saying, it's going to take some time to get rolling. But if it comes to December and we're still in 20th, I don't even know what you do.
Yeah, nor do I. I will say that I'm glad to see Di Matteo gone, at least for his substitutions. I thought that was his single biggest weakness.
Yeah.
With the club. And so hopefully Bruce can do better. I think the idea with Bruce is, so long as you don't get relegated, he sticks around.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, really, I think now Tony is like, oh crap, now you have to think about next season a little bit. And kind of build a solid squad. Integrate that youth. I think the youth is the most important part, because if we don't go up, we're losing Amavi. We're probably losing Ayu. And, you know, could be in maybe even Grealish, but...
At this point, it doesn't feel like losing Amavi would be that much.
No, but it's just... But
it would be, because he's got a lot of potential.
And because we're going to let Sissoko hopefully expire.
Yeah, no kidding. God, yeah, I don't know. The sorry state of this club is pretty depressing right now. I told Jack before the podcast that he and I need to find something else to podcast about, because I want to podcast, but I don't want to talk about this club anymore.
Yeah, it looks like the players don't even want to talk about the club, really, and why would they even play for the club? But
to the 7 of you still listening to us talk about this club, thank you. I don't know how you do it. But you're the reason we're here. Keep listening.
Yeah, unfortunately, there will be no more political ads, so...
No, God. Yeah, we apologize, by the way. This is a totally off-topic note, but some of you, when you downloaded the podcast last time, got Donald Trump ads before your podcast. And without even getting too deeply into politics, I think I can safely say that neither Jack nor I wanted Donald Trump ads. But quite frankly, I think neither of us want political ads of any stripe.
Because yeah, certainly not.
The podcast is. We both have our opinions, but that doesn't matter. We don't want any political ads here.
That's not what you signed up for.
Yeah, we're sorry you have to hear anything, but at least make it something boring like Old Navy or Ace Hardware.
Yeah. Something that you probably don't even know exists if you're not in the U.S.
That's true. So our apologies for that. But we've been assured that it's been fixed. If it isn't, please let us know.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about the players. We just have one transfer rumor, and apparently it's going to be Steve Bruce's first target in January. This comes from the Birmingham Mail. Sam Johnston is Man United's third-string keeper. Apparently he wants to play on loan, and... I think, you know, Villa can use more competition because Mark Bunn not really cutting it, and obviously Pierluigi Gallini not really cutting it.
I thought, you know, to be fair to him, I thought Gallini had a pretty good day over the
weekend. No, I think so. If you concede a penalty, it's not going to be the goalie's fault.
Yeah, and he made the right decision on the penalty. He just couldn't quite get there.
No, I don't blame him at all for that. I'm just saying he just needs to be pushed a little more, and if we could possibly... get a bit of an upgrade in January, that never hurts.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. My one issue with the Johnston rumor is, you know, I think one of Gallini's big weaknesses is the fact he's 21 years old and he doesn't, you know, have the experience to make the best decisions. Johnston's only 23. Johnstone? Johnston? I don't know. Yeah. He's only 23, so if you want to give Gallini that sort of push, I feel like experience might be the thing, but... I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm willing to give Steve Bruce the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's you need to have someone that's closer to his level, really challenging him. Not that Bunn isn't, but it just doesn't seem like it at this point. And no, like you're saying, for experience, I don't think we're going to loan Gallini out to League One or something along those lines. But I don't know. I'm giving Bruce full control, really, at this point, with whatever he can try, go for it.
Yep, absolutely. So it's worth noting that Johnston has spent his entire career, his entire senior playing career, out on loan. He's always been with Manchester United, but he's played, or he's been loaned to Oldham Athletic, Scunthorpe, Walsall, Yeovil, Doncaster, Preston North End. And with Preston, he's played 26 matches.
Yeah, and I think that's a situation of, well, Man United, we have this player, we're just going to try to train him up before we could sell him for something. Obviously, he's probably not really in their future plans, but he's still probably a solid player.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's one of those things where I don't totally get it because he's pretty young, but I'm certainly not going to complain. I think he could be a boost.
All right, and then just a final note, the next match is going to be Saturday against Fulham, and yeah, that we just want to let you know about that, and
that's
also want
to going to happen.
Yeah, also want to let you know that more. I'm going to be updating my list of what the TV coverage is and stuff. As we said, there's nothing for Reading, but continue to check back as we will have new information as that becomes available.
Yeah, and in terms of promoting something, it's kind of dour to listen to Jack and I talk about Aston Villa right now, but he is starting a new podcast with Scouted. And so give us the details on that, where people can find you, because people want to listen to you, so where can they find you not sounding depressed?
Yeah, so it's called Scouted Says. It's for Scouted Football on Twitter. I've wrote about Jordan Amavi, Jack Grealish, for them, and actually James is going to be writing about Gallini in when the new handbook comes out in December. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Scouted Football.
Nice. And the podcast will be
Called Scouted there. Says, so
okay, cool,
that'll be coming out sometime. We're recording the first episode tomorrow.
Yeah, y'all should go listen to that when it comes out, because listening to Jack is a worthwhile endeavor. Listening to us talk about Aston Villa, oof.
Yeah, I hope. I don't know if you saw it. I was on TalkSport talking about Steve Bruce last week. I haven't been able to find if they had a link available for the download, but it was just on their early breakfast radio show. So
nice.
That was fun as well. But
I like the idea that we might have to be inserting a section into this podcast of Jack promotes his media appearances.
Yeah, I wish. Well, I mean, we could, but. Yeah, and the other thing we want to mention is we are still trying to do that cooking pod, that episode 100 special, that's still in the works, and especially because Robert wants to do something else than Villa.
Send us your favorite English recipe.
Yeah, let's just make...
Your favorite Midland specialty.
Yeah, send us your recipes, and then we'll have a vote, and then we'll just make one of them.
And Jack and I can get our hands on some Yorkshire tea and drink that while we cook.
I prefer Earl Grey, but...
Oh, but see, according to all of the English people when I asked, Yorkshire is the tea to have?
Yeah, that's what they told me one day when I was saying on Twitter, I like Earl Grey, and...
Earl Grey, too. Come on, people. Earl Grey is delicious.
All right, so, yeah, send us those culinary choices of yours, and we'll start getting something going for the cooking pod, but... Anyway, I think that's all we got on Villa today. So I want to thank you for joining Robert and I on the podcast. You can find us everywhere you've been able to find us, for iTunes, Stitcher, Black Tech Radio, of course, Google Play. And remember to keep checking 7500toholt.com. Follow us on Twitter at 7500toholt, at 7500_Robert, and at Jack Grimsey. So we're signing off. For my co-host Robert, I've been Jack.